This is the Red Shirt Geeks podcast, which makes its home at redshirtgeeks.com.
And so it begins.
Files accessed. Transfer of data complete.
Commencing.
Ladies, gentlemen, and people who are secretly Swedish fish, we are the Red Shirt Geeks.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Shooting the proton torpedoes and, like, make us go that way.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Very bad feeling.
Shut up, Wesley!
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound. Dead bars.
Make it so.
Red Shirt Geeks!
I'm Laz D, the pseudo-Kiwi.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
And I'm Sweet Beard of Zeus Alex.
I'm Drunk Dave.
And I'm Swedish Fish Dennis.
I knew it.
You
see, I told
son
you,
of
Dennis.
A bitch.
Damn it. I knew it. I knew there was one hiding.
It's not even a candy. It's like...
It's the most awesome
it's
candy,
like an
guys.
Addiction. You leave me alone.
You're the worst. It's the worst. You're bad and you should feel bad.
It's delicious.
Your candy is bad. You
especially if it's
bad.
Mixed with liquor.
Why can't I quit you?
I don't know why I can't quit you, sweetest fish.
Hey, well, why would you go with the bears or the worms? That's just weird. That's queer. Bears and worms are queer.
That's just wrong, guys. It's wrong,
wrong
in so many
is
ways.
Right.
But yes.
And in fact, that pause got awkward.
So in this episode, we're actually going to talk about what we talk about a lot, ourselves, because we had nothing better to talk about. Actually, we've been talking about this particular subject for a while. We want to share everything with it, you know, with our viewers, our origin stories, what it is that got us into being geeks and doing the stuff that we do, because we all have our own different kind of geek thing that we do. And yeah, so we're going to talk about how we got into doing that, and we're going to share with everybody our personal stories about how we got to where we are today.
And yes, it all began with a shot. Anyway, I'm not going there yet.
So if you tuned in for content, there. You're wrong. You should feel wrong.
So, and you know, let's just actually start from the top. You know, I'll be the first one to throw my hat into the ring. So I can.
Wait. Should we explain what an origin story is for those people that don't know?
What is an origin story? No kazoo.
No kazoos.
If the kazoo comes out, I'm going to shove it up your ass.
There's the kazoo. There's the kazoo for you.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to end this episode, and I'm going to fly to Ohio and kill Patrick. Sorry.
I'm going to break out the
story. Don't
worry. My version
he lives in Ohio. He's already dead inside.
If you keep it up. Really? I'm going to. I'm warning you.
Yeah. Speaking of warning us, yes. Well, please, you know, enlighten us, Alex. What is an origin story?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going
to
tell.
Oh, I see. So when I go to tell them my origin story, you stop me from telling my origin story so I can tell people what an origin story is.
And then you have nothing to add. So,
yeah, how about
it?
Just kidding.
Dude. So the origin story, obviously, the idea of doing this is not just to say, you know, I was bitten by a radioactive hot dog one day and became a fat ass, you know. Sort of, it was more like the...
That sounds like a trauma film.
It does.
So dead parents bound to this tale, right?
Or the people who made Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, which I have on DVD.
Wonderful.
The idea is that, you know, we all obviously
hang on. No. I need to. I've never heard of the movie Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. Now I need to know. In this movie, is Jesus Christ a vampire hunter, or is Jesus Christ a vampire and they're hunters?
Now, obviously, he's a zombie who hunts vampires. I mean, it's very. There's two books. There's a new one and an old one.
Fantastic.
And they explain all
which.
Yeah, Dave.
Well, in the Old
the
Testament, they talk. Talk about him being a vampire that hunts hunters. You
that's
know?
Right. Actually, the idea is that you know, we we all do sort of different things that make us all geeks, you know. I mean, we all have very similar interests. I mean, we're all part of this podcast. We're all part of the Registered Geeks, and we have a lot of similar geek interests. But there's things that we are pretty specific on that we really like to get into, you know. I, myself, movies. Dennis, games. Alex, games. Dave, games.
It's my house.
I'm all over the map.
But and Patrick, things. Well... Yeah, Patrick. Well, oh,
colors and shapes.
Yeah, they're the map and special.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's gotta be some. I'm pretty sure there's a court order from us telling exactly what Patrick does.
That's why I'm in Ohio and they're in Virginia. All of them far, far away.
And unfortunately, Ohio laws are more
black. Hours away. You have mountains to protect you from me.
Well. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about. And I'm going to be the first one to throw my hat into the ring and kind of just, I guess...
whip it out here.
Explain.
I think you'll explain.
Yeah, that too. What I do primarily is, you know, I got into film probably about a decade ago. I'm going to say actually just a little over a decade ago. I was in New Zealand. I got a chance to meet Jeff Oken, who was he's done a number of special effects for a number of movies, and he was doing the special effects for The Last Samurai, which happened to be filming where I lived. Long story short, we became friends. I got really interested in film, and I kind of just kept a bubbling interest, if you like, along the way, just kind of keeping my ear to the ground, learning a few things here and there. And then when I was done, I sort of got asked to do, you know, the 48-hour film festival in New Zealand, and I was like, I gotta do this. I'll give it a try. And I was at that point, I was hooked. I the bug had bitten me. I knew I wanted to do this for a living. I didn't know how I was gonna do it for a living, but this is something I felt was my calling. And you know, given that I'd never really kind of figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up, that was kind of fun. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it led me to coming back to the United States. And ultimately getting my degree in film. Film is my passion. I love to think about stories, to think about how I can tell a story and entertain people. You know, and as most of the Redshirt Geeks can attest, I have had a hand in some way working on most of the shows that appear on our site. So except for the Lone and Landing Party and any other third party one that we promoted.
Well, third party.
Yeah. You know.
There you go, Alex.
You're a I guess very Lone and Landing Party.
I guess I'm outsourced.
That's right. The Lone and Landing Party is now the third party.
Mm-hmm. Or LLP for the no.
Yeah, LLP.
Repro.
Represent.
DAT what?
Turn down for what?
That will take a put any day.
and now we have another show in the works that is premiered its pilot and is starting to chug along. Which is the Random Bits of Geek. But the funny thing is that it's not just the name of the show. It's also suddenly now they get instantly get referred to as if some sort of odd acronym. You know, we of course have our first show was the Doomed Away Team, so it became DAT. Then came Alex with the Lonely Landing Party, so now just called it LLP. And with Random Bits of Geek, we call it Arbog. Like, okay, but
sounds like a bad virus.
It is. It is messed up, and it's a bad virus. So
I'm going to assume that everybody here has watched the first episode already, so you understand. It is a virus. It will infect your brain.
Assume all
and
you
your soul
want.
And your mind and your brain and your nipples.
Wait, so your time.
What?
Yeah, I can't get back that 3 minutes of my life.
And there's a kazoo involved in the next episode.
No!
Yes!
That was the one
thing. You're gonna kill him before it starts!
That was the one thing it had going for me, is that there wasn't a kazoo in the show.
And now there's a kazoo. Damn! That's it. I'm not watching.
It lost it all.
It's like the Redshirt Geeks own Gotham.
God, I like.
In here, Gotham, I thought you were gonna make an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. joke.
More than stuff.
No.
He should have. If he said that it was Redshirt Geeks, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I would have been like, yep, that's adept.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So that's kind of what I do. I really focus on film, and whatever free time I get, that's where my attention goes.
So I've always... the question, the gaming and things like that have pretty much gone by the wayside at this point.
What's that?
You know, the thing that we did, that we used to do in high school.
Oh, you mean like, he has new friends now, Ohio.
Yeah, I have new friends now, but they won't game with me either.
They have plumbing and lights.
And Dennis. We have Dennis. Do you have Dennis?
No.
Nope.
That's I have right. this.
You can't afford me.
Thankfully, nobody can hear what I'm doing to on the video screen to everyone else because it's very, very, very naughty.
What is this? Role play me like one of your French girls or something? I don't know. So yeah, that's basically what I do. I mean, I really don't have a lot of time for other things, but I do enjoy, of course, all the other cool geek things. You know, I'm into comic books, I'm into games, I'm into role playing games, I'm into going to conventions, especially like the Tidewater Comic Con. Go ahead, Dennis. Go ahead. Screw up your face. Screw it up. I want to see you angry. Get angry.
Last thing that
I joke about that with a couple of people that no matter where we go, I am the angry guy in the group.
Yeah.
So it's like I couldn't find anything at the Comic Con I was really mad at. So it's like these tables are set up wrong.
What's wrong with these things?
This building was built on a swamp.
God, wow! Damn Indian burial ground.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah, don't go down by the dead pools.
Vampire Indians.
So quick question, Lars.
I hear there's a vampire Jesus down there.
That's right.
Quick question, so, Lars. Where when you were young, what really fired your imagination into the geekdom? That's the one thing you didn't get. Is your youth.
Anybody who knows me knows this answer already. Two words for you. Star Trek. I am a Trekkie nerd.
Is that J.J. Abrams? Oh, wait.
Is that like...
You go to hell and you die. You go to hell and you die.
What's Star Trek? I don't...
Star Trek, you know, Star Trek.
I really like watching the Star Trek. I lost my cat. You do, he's got a duck.
When you go to Boston, you go to Star Trek conventions. I mean, seriously, stop making fun of my accent. That's it.
We'll make fun of you for everything because we can.
Don't make me
work. It's not a New Zealand accent. That's why they're making fun of you. It's not New Zealand.
It's like a Boston accent.
It's like it's amalgamation of crap. I can't speak with one accent anymore. Like, what is going on?
You should have ended that sentence at just "I can't speak," and we would have believed it.
That's true. I can't speak. You're right. Some words are American and some words are apparently Bostonian. So yeah, I mean again, Star Trek is the one thing that really really fires my geek imagination. I love a lot of things, you know. I mean, anything that kind of has that non-mainstream feel to it, that really kind of
like
gets
Star Trek.
Yes, that's right. Star Trek, not mainstream.
Unless it's directed by J.J. Abrams, which is why you hate
J.J. Abrams, it's crap. It's crap, y'all. So that's my origin story. Somebody else gets to go now.
That would be me, because I'm almost as awesome. Because my origin story...
this episode.
My origin story came along when my father... I'm not going to finish that sentence. Okay. But my imagination was not fired by Star Trek. When I was young, Star Trek didn't really fire me up that much, because it was like, okay, that's awesome. Mine was a little movie called Star Wars, which, by the way, on the next Random Bits of Geek, I talk about. So that's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm literally surrounded by Star Wars stuff laying all over the place from recording that episode. That Star Wars was really what fired my imagination all the way until I found computers. When I found computers, I was playing with them as soon as I could. Pretty much could absorb anything, space, anything weird, anything different. I discovered gaming, discovered real gaming other than just video games by themselves when I ran into Lars and we started playing Wasteland on a daily basis after school. And then I was introduced to role playing games and I've become a real nut job. My big passion started in that role playing game. Lars and I started doing some recording, which turned into some really interesting tapes.
I bet it did.
Yes, it did.
That led me, when I was in college, to take up a little bit of radio. Enjoyed that for a while. That was fun.
I'm about to walk away with Alex. So you and Lars did some role-playing on tape.
Yes, we did.
Yes. That sounded wrong. Awesome.
This in your college days?
That's right.
I was very experimental. No, I wasn't experimental in college. I'm experimental now. Look at this.
Okay, you didn't even see that. I don't want to look at that. It's the worst kind of LARPing you can think of, okay?
Oh, man.
More laughing.
Role-playing?
Right, so actually, you know, it's funny. You mentioned you did a little bit of DJing in high school, and that kind of, or not high school, sorry, in
college
and a university, and that sort of, I guess, fired the passion to keep doing. I mean, I guess a natural progression is to go to podcasting now. I mean, since we can reach thousands of people with our podcast, it just seems like a natural progression from the radio stuff that, you know, the original quote unquote podcasts we did when we were in high school, and then moving on to radio DJing, and then now you're back doing, you know, what is now classed as a podcast. Again, it seems like a natural progression from where you got into doing sound and carrying it on through. So, I mean, has that been like sort of a thing that for you is just seems second nature?
It seems to be the way I work. It's just I listen to sound. Video is usually secondary. The biggest challenge with the Random Bits of Geek is capturing the video. I can capture the audio all day long, all night long, and then back all day next day. It's turning into videos has been a little bit more of a challenge. But since everybody else is doing videos, I said, hey, I got to do a video because I can look at me on the screen. But yeah, really, the thing with radio and podcasting, it wasn't until the technology really caught up and I was able to find a way to be able to put it out there. I just didn't have the technology until late part of the last decade before I was even able to do anything with it.
Right. And I mean, now we do this podcast on a biweekly basis. And I mean, it's just nothing. I mean, as far as the effort that it takes to put it together and get it out there is probably a lot less than it was to having to do things without the technology years and years ago. But at the same
nightmare
time,
compared to when we started.
Now you look at it right now. Oh yeah, the karaoke machine. I remember that. I still have that episode.
Cave drawings aren't that hard. Come on.
Well,
Lars, what was the depression like?
Is it as depressing as I've heard?
Yes.
And what was a dust bowl? That sounds interesting.
A dust bowl is what.
That sounds gross.
My
cereal
is way
better than that.
Were you drafted into Vietnam?
Well, it was that bowl that you smoked that was better?
No. He ran away to New Zealand.
That's right. I am a draft dodger.
Yo, draft dodging son of a bitch.
Never mind the fact that I was born the year that the war ended.
Everyone remembers the horrible Kiwi famine of New Zealand. Half the population died of starvation.
The Kiwi famine of 76, you say?
Hey, there's plenty of food out there in Kiwi land.
What is that, a lemon? That'll poison you. Put that down.
Okay, so so Patrick, you know, again,
there's got to be a better way to find citrus.
What you do now is pretty much in line with your passion for audio and performing.
I design sound and write stuff. I write and I do sound. I mean, most of the stuff back in our 3x2 days, all the stuff we did back then, some of the upcoming video projects you're working on is stuff that I've written. And yeah, that's pretty much where it is me creating awesome sound and barely marginal video, which is where you come in. Which brings us to the next person in this whole podcast. Let's talk to Alex, the first person we brought in to the Red Shirt Geeks when we were forming Red Shirt Geeks. Tell us your origin story, Alex, and try not to blind anybody.
Try not to what?
Try not to blind anybody.
No, I won't. Actually, not a lot of people know. I grew up in Philadelphia. It's probably why I hate it so much.
Well, yeah. I find that hard to believe because I don't think you ever grew up, but never mind.
That's very true.
That's very true.
In my pants, I left a big skid.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I was born and raised, and I wasn't really into geek stuff being little because both my brothers did a lot of sports, so I played a lot of b-ball outside of my school, and then one day a couple guys showed up and they were up to no good.
Yeah, I knew you couldn't do those.
They started making trouble in your neighborhood.
Oh no!
So let me guess, you got one little fight, and your mom got scared.
So close.
Did you call up your auntie and uncle out in Bel Air?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, like, they were in the game.
He was molested.
Sorry.
It was horrible.
Show us on the action figure where they touched you.
Show us on Will Smith's career where they touched you.
On the backside. It was somewhere after Earth.
Yeah, the Fresh Prince was on the TV playing when it happened.
Was Bill Cosby involved in this, by the way? Oh,
no.
That's not funny, Patrick. Stop.
We don't talk about Cosby, Patrick.
I made that joke earlier because someone told me about it. I hadn't heard about the whole Bill Cosby thing. And they're like, yeah, no, apparently like he forced himself on women back in the day. I was like, oh, my God, he gave him the pudding pop?
That's the first thing I said.
Yep.
We got to take the pudding pop. It never worked again.
Classic Cosby.
Yep.
See, me personally, I was thinking there's always room for Jello.
I just think of it as a really creepy Mr. Rogers as he's like slowly folding his sweater.
Put on my red shoes. Serious? Don't worry.
I don't want to be your neighbor.
Oh, dear God, guys. So, okay.
You ever met Mr. McFeely?
So, how did you get into doing geek stuff, Alex? Seriously.
Yeah. Anyway, I actually grew up in Florida. I had a Nintendo when I was little, but I didn't, my brothers played it most of the time, so I really wasn't that into it. I didn't really get into games and the whole geek stuff until I was actually in middle school. And I got my first PlayStation. And then I got my first computer. And then it was just downhill from there. Once you get your first computer, that's about it, Because that just opens up so many doors, and it's like, oh, the internet. Well. Yeah.
Quick side note. What is everybody's first computer? Lars?
Commodore 64.
Mine was an Apple II Plus. Alex?
As you can tell, as we go down, the computers are going to get newer because the people saying it are getting younger.
Yep.
So I'm going to say a Lenovo ThinkPad because that's what I had.
Okay. Dave?
He had an Abacus. Third room to the left in NASA. No, I have no idea. I really don't know.
Okay, Dennis, any ideas?
I'm not a computer guy.
I actually built mine with scavenged parts from a guy who worked at a computer store. He just gave me a bunch of parts. So I had to hotwire some of the gateway parts into a Dell. And if you remember the old ones, they had the proprietary locks.
Oh, that crap.
Yep, I remember those.
Old ones.
So I had to actually hardwire them. So mine was, I called it Frankentosh, but that was my first computer. It didn't have a case because all the pieces stuck out the sides of the tower.
So,
but it worked great.
Awesome.
And it was the top line parts.
Alex, back to where you were.
But now that's
going downhill.
Yeah, I got my first computer when I was in middle school, and then I started playing EverQuest because my stepdad is what got me into computers, and I saw him start. He was playing StarCraft, and then we started playing StarCraft. He built a computer so we could play together. We started playing StarCraft, and then he took me to a LAN party, which I had no idea what it was. And it was the LAN party was in Jacksonville, uh-oh, Florida, and it was called LAN Guild, and it used to be a strip bar. So when you went in, it was one row of red lights and one row of blue lights.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining that SNL skit with, Chris Farley doing the Chippendales dance.
Oh, no.
Exactly right. The stage at the end. No joke. There was a stage at the end because it used to be a strip bar.
Wait, hang on. Seriously, was it a male strip bar?
No, I have no idea about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that now that you say that, it makes me remember because Land Guild took it over when the strip bar closed, and then Land Guild closed like 3 years later, and a church took it over.
Oh my God! Pole dance for Jesus.
Yes. But that's what happened. But that LAN party was the first time I'm like, wow, these guys are obviously 10 years older than me, and they had these souped up computers. And then that's when I saw EverQuest for the first
time. Oh right, yeah, I remember EverQuest. Yeah,
I saw EverQuest, and then EverQuest from there it was just downhill. I played EverQuest for a few years but it was really hard for me to keep up because I couldn't pay it because I was like 15. So
I still remember that. It was like the very first MMO, wasn't it?
Ultima, I mean, there was one. Ultima Online was the first big one. There was one before Ultima, but I can't remember. But EverQuest was the first like 3D one, and I just couldn't fathom in my 15-year-old brain that I'm playing with 10,000 other people and I could talk to them. I just didn't get that. But when I saw it, I'm just like, wow, well, that's awesome. Okay, even though, you know, graphics back in 1999 were the worst.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So, okay, so playing the games, you know, playing the online games, playing computer games and what, that really kind of was a springboard for you?
Yeah, then I really went to then I started going to the LAN parties a lot, and I became quite competitive in the Jacksonville area. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of Quake 3 Team Arena and Unreal Tournament tournaments a lot. So
what do we do? We need to get you into, like, you know, competitive Magic the Gathering and sell a part this week.
This was back when I was 17 and my reflexes were good. Now I'm 28. That doesn't happen. So
yeah.
But I just thank my dad, because my dad lived in Jacksonville, and I only saw him every other weekend because my parents were divorced. Mm-hmm. And my dad was cool. I was just like, you know, I really want to go to this LAN party. But it was on his weekend, so I really felt bad asking him. But he's like, oh, that's okay. I got a date anyway. Have fun with your friends. And I'm like, man, yeah, you rock.
So thanks to Alex's dad for him.
You rock. Being I'll remember you on a podcast 20 years later.
Yeah. Thanks for all those times, man.
Did you ever pick up those cigarettes you went out for?
It's so cold here at my soccer game.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed those cigarettes.
Must have been a really long movie.
Extended edition of The Hobbit.
I was gonna say, is Alex our Nelson?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mandela?
I'm like, you racist bastard.
This is happening.
What?
Happening right now.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, this is happening.
Does he particularly like soccer, or?
Matt Damon is
funny. Yeah. You know, and that's pretty much it.
Oh,
it just went from there.
Oh, that's funny.
Well.
Okay, so Dave, I think we're up to you, because unless Alex, do you have anything more to add?
I'm good.
Okay, Dave.
Oh, I actually forgot I was supposed to talk. Okay.
Yes, you've got to talk at some point. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just enjoying sitting here drinking, making fun of you guys.
Well, now we get to make fun of your ass.
That's what Red Shirt Geeks is all about, getting drunk and making fun of other people.
Pretty much, you know, cheers. All right. So I'm to explain how I got into geeky things. Is that the concept here?
More or less. How did you return?
Fair
to
enough.
Come to geekdom.
Fair enough. I guess my dad. I mean, I guess if I had to pinpoint an origin, I guess my dad would be the one to blame for getting me into this grip. Yeah. I mean, I guess when I was growing up. I was originally born in California, and my dad actually worked out in Hollywood there, and he designed a whole bunch of stuff for a whole bunch of shows, you know, a whole bunch of geek shows, you know, shows I'm sure everyone's heard of at some point or time. And growing up, I have three older sisters. They always, you know, used to kind of poke fun at the geeky kind of stuff, you know. But me, I always dug it, you know, and going into school and high school and all that kind of fun stuff, I always liked it, and I guess, you know, ipso facto, here I am.
So, now, Dave, I mean, we try not to really delve too much into the details of your
particular medical. No, go for it.
But, you know,
yeah, origin
it.
Story time.
I guess if there's any time to say it.
Now.
You know?
Yeah. It's important to understand that everybody knows that Dave's dad is Andrew Probert or Andy Probert as some would refer to as Uncle Andy, because he is by far the one of the coolest people to ever strut across the sci-fi stage. Developed things, obviously, worked with Back to the Future, worked on Battlestar Galactica, worked Batteries Not Included. Oh my God! Star Trek.
Did you seriously forget Star Trek?
No,
I was saving that one for last.
That's right. I was saving Star Trek for the last. But yeah, so the The idea is that, you know, your dad has worked in the industry for longer than some of us have been alive. And the idea is it's just his work is amazing. And I'm sure that for you, that some of the stories that you've told me is that, I guess, living in the limelight a little bit when you were younger probably is a little bit off-putting. And it was something like, you know, like, yeah,
It was weird when I was young, you know, because you know, it's like I would tell, you know, for listeners listening in that don't know who my dad is or anything like that, his most notable work is he was one of the lead designers, if not the lead designer, for Star Trek Next Generation.
Right.
He designed the Star Trek NC-1701 D. He designed the bridge. He designed uniforms. He designed the Warbird. He designed a whole bunch of ships. He designed so much crap for Next Generation. Not even funny. You know, he worked on Star Trek The Motion Picture. He worked on Airwolf. He worked on Street Hawk. He, like, holy crap. He mentioned Battlestar Galactica. He designed the Cylons for that. Alex, you have a question in the front row. Go ahead.
Did you say that he worked for Airwolf? He did that?
Yeah, yeah. He designed all the attachments and all that kind of fun stuff for the helicopter and the helmets and the uniforms.
I have to meet this man, and I will probably make out with him.
I'm awesome. Sure at some point, you know, I
and we will post that on Redshirt Geeks.
There you go. We'll make sure there's video. Yeah, no, I've talked to him several times about coming on the show one way or the other and getting in on this with us, and he's more than game. So for the listeners listening in, it's coming.
That'll be a Redshirt interview to remember. Maybe a two-parter.
Yeah, there you go. He's got more than enough to say, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yes,
but
yes.
As a kid, it was weird because, you know, I'm going to say fifth grade, just as an example, you know, for time frame. You know, around that era, you know, I'd be proud of what my dad did. But at the same time, if I tell any kids, you know, like, oh, my dad did this, it was instantly like I was making crap up and a liar, you know. And it wasn't until, like, if they ever came over to my house or anything like that, that it would be proved. And then even if they did, then I was suddenly the guy that was bragging about it, you know.
Even when you told me the first time, I thought you were lying, because we were in the service together, and everyone tells their wild story about why they're in the service, like, I had a football scholarship but my knee blew out, so here I am, and it's all crap. So when he was like, yeah, my dad designed the Enterprise, I'm like, yeah, bullshit. And no, I met his dad, and truth be told, like, he designed much cooler shit than the Enterprise. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Now we have the internet to tell everybody, so you can prove it. Say, hey, look at this.
Yeah, that's true.
There it is.
For any of you guys that don't believe me, go to probertdesigns.com, and you'll see everything that he did. It's easy.
Even on the internet, it can't be a lie.
That's right. Everything on the internet is totally true. So, you know, Dave, you know, thank you so much. I mean, it's just like,
there's that.
I love you telling those stories, and not just about your dad, but the fact that I love hearing stories about what it was like when you were a kid living in that, you know, sort of thing, you know, the world, if you like.
Honestly, the thing that I remember the most. And this is what put me in touch with the geek community is my dad used to go to a lot of conventions, you know, and I'd tag along as a little kid, you know, and it was really cool, you know, getting to see conventions from the side of the guest rather than as, you know, general admission. You know, you for a day. I mean, like, honestly, as far as what my dad's done, he's not a big Hollywood star. He's not Brad Pitt. He's not you know, any other star that's really going to be like, oh my God, Andy Probert's over here, let's all go get his autograph. No, you just kind of stumble upon his table.
Unless you're Lars.
You know, 364 days out of the year, my life was essentially normal, but I'd go to a convention or so, and it was like, hey, I'm a VIP now, you know? But I'd go to a convention, and I'd be in touch with. And I think the thing that I appreciated the most about conventions is that it was a place where you could go and nobody judged you. You know, no matter what you were into, no matter, you know, if you wanted to dress up like a Klingon or, you know, if you were a guy that wanted to dress up as Diana Troy, nobody really judged you, you know.
What if you played a kazoo?
We still judge you. They judge
you terribly. Convention center.
Yeah,
that's... But it was just cool, you know, going from a place like school where, you know, and I'm sure, because I mean, all the, you know, the four of you guys are geeks just like me. You know, I'm sure growing up was the same thing, you know, where you go to school, you got your the geek stuff that you like, which you kind of have to keep close to your heart so that, you know, it's not, you know, picked out by bullies and so on and so forth. But you know, at conventions, it's a whole bunch of people like you where you don't have to worry about that. You know, and that really kind of endeared me to the sci-fi community.
I think that's actually a really good a good story to tell, because that's one thing the Red Shirt Geeks are really about. We're having fun. We're making, you know, we're taking pot shots at each other because that's what we do. We're all friends, and we do that. But at the same time, you know, we don't necessarily love the same things. All love the same things, but what we do is we respect each other enough to appreciate that and not be disrespectful of it, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely a perfect story. So thanks for that. Yep. Let's move on to Dennis, you know, because Dennis is the new guy.
Yeah, now I have to follow that. My dad designed the Statue of Liberty.
Nice.
No, that's a lie.
Just say you built something with your mashed potatoes once. That'll work. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. No. Mean something. No, I started off weird with getting into the geekdom because it was little bits around. Like, I had an uncle who was religiously into SeaQuest, and I had my grandfather who loved Next Gen.
I love SeaQuest.
And then I'd get games when I went to friends' houses and stuff, because we were pretty low rent. We didn't have a lot of money, so it was like I'd play a borrowed Atari from time to time. And I think my mother bought an NES for us and got like the Olympics and freaking Mario Duck Hunt and all that together package. She had the running pad, and that was like the first big thing of gaming, and I didn't get to use it because it was just like, no, this is for the older kids, you go play in the yard. I'm like, meh. But I started getting into gaming and the real nerd culture. Like, I watched Star Trek, but I really didn't start to like it until like years after I'd first seen it. And my big one was Stargate. Like, Stargate was the one that's like, I loved all military stuff growing up, and that was the thing I liked to follow. And then I found something that was pretty true to military form and was sci-fi, and I was like, ooh, what is this? And I watched all of SG. Like, I talked about it on the Doomed Away team. I was dead set on becoming an SG team. Like, I was going to join the Air Force, find that freaking Cheyenne Mountain base, and work there. Like, I wanted it so bad. And then for gaming, the big one that put me, like, I played Metal Gear Solid and all the ones that came out on PlayStation. But the one that really, really got me was on my computer. My mother would try to just let me get something every time we'd go out. She'd, oh, we don't need that. I don't need something for myself. So here's $20. Get yourself a game for $20. So I'd have to go to the bargain bin at Sam's Club, and I'd find a game for $20. And I'd get, was it Total War, Shogun? That was a good one. I got for like $9, and it was a great game. But the one that pushed me in was Counter-Strike. The first Counter-Strike when it came out.
I loved that game.
That was the first game I put in. I was like, there's no single player. Like, I put it in, I start playing, and it's just an obstacle course to learn the buttons. And then I click something, and I'm online. With just how Alex said, like 10,000 people. Like, what is this? And oh man, like they would have to pull me off the computer constantly because I would just be there all day. Just, oh my God, I knew every nook and cranny of every map. I could draw you from memory a map of Dust right now.
Don't know about that Dust, man. Go see
it. Yeah, it's bad. Like I play that game religiously, and then like Source came out, and it got crazy. Once I got into the military and stuff, like I got worked into a WoW group, and I was playing World of Warcraft. I think I got up to like the third expansion, and that's when I kind of got out of it. But same thing with kind of like Alex, like I couldn't afford it anymore. I can't pay for something I'm playing 3 hours a week for. Yep. Like that's not worth it for me. So, yeah, I played as a dwarf hunter, made it up to level 70, and I'm just one of those people. Like, if you give me a game or you give me something and I really dig into it, I'm going to destroy it, like my Fallout. So, yeah, I love Fallout. There's a YouTube channel called ShootyCast, and all they do is the history of games. So, like, right now they're doing Dragon Age, but they did all the history of Fallout and Skyrim and all of it, and they do tests, and I pass all of them for Fallout. Like, I know every nook and cranny in Fallout. It's my gold.
Fallout and 3, normally Fallout when I'm Vegas playing Fallout, I'm trying the to... older Fallouts too.
I didn't get into them until the third one, the one that came out. But
No joke, when I'm playing Fallout, if I'm like sitting there going, man, I need to get like a better gun than this or something, I'll call up Dennis and be like, look, this is what I'm using. Here's where I've been. What do I need to get? And he's like, and tell him, like, you want to get a better gun?
The Legion is just at the dock, and up on a hill there's a tent with a 100 pick safe. If you get that, you'll get the Gobi sniper rifle. And he's like, how do you remember this crap? I'm like, I don't know. I can't remember what side of the truck my gas cap's on, but I know where the damn Gobi rifle is in New Vegas.
That rifle worked really well for me, by the way. Thank you, Dennis.
Be sure to tell me so I can hop in there and grab it, because I don't think I ever found that one. But oh well.
Yeah, it's good. It's a desert camo rifle. It's a really good rifle. One of the best ones in the game, but you have to have 100% lockpicking to get it. It's the only way you can get it. But I get into games, and I think the last one I really dug into like that was Borderlands 2. Borderlands 2 is one of the ones I actually spit my money out to get Xbox Live, because playing it by yourself was fun, but once you got a group of people, you're like, we are just destroying this game. Like, you would talk to someone like, well, where are you? Ohio? Oh, sweet. What time do you get off work? Well, that's 5 there. What time is it here? And you would schedule. Like, I was playing with, like, 12-year-old kids and 45-year-old guys. Like, it was just this mix. A big group, everyone trying to, like, I got 25 minutes before I got to go pick my kids up from school. Let's do this, right?
Come on, let's go.
Oh, man, like... That's what Counter-Strike was. Like, when you met people you liked on there, you would look for their names, because there wasn't a clan system at that time. You'd have to find their names and Steam. Find where they were.
That's back when there wasn't Steam. It was just Counter-Strike.
It wasn't Steam. Like, I joke with people all the time. I talk to them, they're like, yeah, man, it's so... A couple 19 and 22-year-olds I know. And they're talking about, like, yeah, no, I saw this and that. I was like, you know, YouTube only came out in 2005, right? And, like, their jaws drop. Like, yeah, no, it's not that long ago. Like, it's 9
back
years.
Back when I had dial-up internet.
Yeah, like, you saw funny videos on YouTube. I saw funny videos on Newgrounds. I had admin control on Newgrounds for a while. I used to be able to kick people's videos off for being too gratuitous.
I remember having to try and find the funny videos that were on, you know, I could download off LimeWire.
Yeah, you actually had to go to killfrog.com or singingbass.com and torture those things. There wasn't a website that had them all on it. You had to go to the actual website the guy made who made the video, because that was the only way you could find them.
I remember
that was how I watched all the Homestar Runner stuff.
What was it? Dancinghamsters.com.
Hey, I remember that.
That's back when the internet was young and innocent.
I remember it was before that.
It took me 4 minutes of, like, Counter-Strike's fun. Hey, what's this banner ad go to? And my friend told me.
I remember a time before the internet.
Area. This sounds amazing.
Lars, did you just go get a box of donuts and come back?
Yes. Lots of donuts.
Okay, just double check.
Very quiet. I'm hunting down.
You skipped off really happily.
Yes, I did.
Ooh, donuts.
Yum-nilicious.
It's a secret. Shut up.
Which means he's going to start shoveling his face, which means it's probably...
That's right.
If nobody else has anything to add...
I'm sure we all have plenty of things to add, but relevant to the episode, different story.
Yeah.
So
Nerd things kind of worked into my life, because there was a lot of, like, I was in the Scouts, and I did a lot of sports. So, like, there was other stuff taking up a lot of the time. And like Lars said, there's those things you don't want to tell people at school. Mine was Stargate. Like, I knew everything, sir. I could speak in freaking Jaffa. Like, I was set. It's not that hard. Jaffa, that actual word means like 20 things. So does Jaffa Cree. That means 20 other things.
Nah. In other words, it wasn't a well-developed language.
The one show that really, other than Stargate, because Stargate was the thing that led me in, but the show that cemented me into being into everything geek was Futurama.
Ooh.
Futurama, I'm in love with. And I was going to point at my cat behind me, but he took off. He's named Fry because the only thing that would stop him crying when I first got him was to put Futurama DVDs on, and he would just stare at the screen.
So
he's
apparently,
got the red top. His name is Fry.
Yeah, apparently
like, very simple. Before that, he was Thomas O'Malley because I thought that was awesome when I got him.
Oh, wow.
Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah, everyone got that song in their head at the same time. Don't lie. But no, like Futurama, like they went into so many niches and made so many nods to so many other sci-fi things. I would actually go from that episode and find the things they were talking about if I didn't know and watch them. So that actually took me from being just a dabbler in geekdom to an actual explorer in it. Like, I wanted to find more. I wanted to see cool things. I remember watching 2001 A Space Odyssey really late. Like, I was one of the few people, like, I knew of it, but never watched it.
Right.
What is it? Fahrenheit 451? Well, no, I watched the whole thing. But Fahrenheit 451. Like, I know everything about that, but I never watched it. It's right. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Have you guys all seen
Looks
it?
Looks better.
Yeah, we saw it in school. So I saw it in school anyway.
Our school showed us the Crucible every year, and we had to go see the play every year. That's stupid.
I had to watch Glory every year with Matthew Broderick and Denzel Washington.
That is an amazing movie.
It's a great movie.
Like, you're a terrorist.
Third time, it's just like, okay.
That was Morgan Freeman's breakout role. Yeah.
I would love to quote all my favorite quotes, but I fear that NAACP might be listening.
Yeah, let's get this episode wrapped up. I know we've talked a whole lot about geek stuff. We talked a whole lot about what got us to where we are, and I know that this probably actually it's just opened up like a Pandora's box of stuff about us as geeks. And I know that we'll come back to the subject, but
we could go for another week on this one.
Yeah, I definitely. Red Shirt Geeks. That's all the time we have for this episode of the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi. Check us out online at redshirtgeeks.com.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M. Check us out on Twitter at Red Shirt Geeks.
I'm Sweetbeard Zeus Alex. We're on Facebook as well.
And I'm the devilishly dashing drunken Dave, and you guys can check us out on YouTube.
That's right.
I'm Dennis. What's up, guys?
don't forget, when we talk about YouTube, don't forget. Check out the Doomed Away Team, the Lonely Landing Party, and now Random Bits of Geek.
Yay!
Right? It's shameless plug for our own shows.
Exactly.
Just remember, Dat, Le Peu, and Arbog.
How could you forget?
It's very simple.
It sounds like characters in a Tolkien book.
Actually, you need about 10 more syllables, but oh well.
I think those are three of the dwarves.
Yep. Because we are the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable hero has a home.
Shirt Geeks podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.